Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How did the offense look? How did Jalen Hurts look? How did you learn anything from Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni's offense? What can you tell us about the offense?
Yeah, a big eck. It's been...
That's not good, Johnny Mac. Welcome in, everybody. A Wednesday edition of Birds 365 following Eagles day one of minicamp. So we are moving into day two today, but plenty to recap from day one. Plenty to talk about with Johnny Mac, my partner. I'm Xander Krause. Welcome in, everybody, to Birds 365. Good show planned today. We got Mike Gill and Brandon Lee Gowton. So two good guests today. Johnny Mac, how you doing on this Wednesday morning, man?
Doing well. Minicamp. Yeah, it feels like a grind already. Got to get ready. Little taste of it before training camp when it really ramps up, becomes a grind.
So under 2 months away from training camp. When do they start training camp? Do we know? Is that early August?
No, late July.
Late July. So they'll be in there.
27th, 28th. Haven't looked at the calendar. Not official yet, but that's usually when they'll be
about
in.
Six, 7 weeks away from training camp. Moving right along here, Johnny Mac. John, let's get to it, man. What were your first before we dive into the weeds on everything, what were your first takeaways or anything that stuck out to you yesterday at minicamp?
Well, I think the most notable curveball happened before practice. Nick Sirianni spoke before the practice and sort of just laid out that James Bradbury was going to play safety.
Yeah,
so which was... not only was he there, but all of a sudden he's going to play safety.
John, we came up with a lot of scenarios on Bradbury before this. Safety was not
one of them. So, you know, I mulled around and said, what is the thought process behind here? Obviously, he's not going to be a starting safety. So the same thing applies with backup corner. You know, that not that he's not one of the best five or six cornerbacks on this team. He certainly is. But as a veteran player, if he's not starting, he's not going to be a backup because he doesn't play on special teams. He's obviously not going to start at safety. So the same thing applies. He's not going to be a special teams player. So, as I think about it more, this is just the Eagles trying to signal to the rest of the league, hey, look at how versatile James Bradbury is. Maybe give us a day three pick for him.
Yeah, that was my next question. Like, does this improve his trade value at all, though? I don't see it.
Well, then the issue becomes he goes out on the field and he's immediately hurt and in the injury tent. And he was doing some individual work and he tripped and he fell and he short trip to the injury tent. Now he stayed on the field, but they took his helmet from him and he didn't practice in team drills, so we never got to see him at safety. Now, a million conspiracies are launched from there. Are they doing that on purpose?
Yeah.
Did they just – and I talked about the reps, and Christian Parker said how important reps are for young players, and there's only a limited amount. So that was a big issue at cornerback, where you have Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean and Kaylee Ringo, who was phenomenal yesterday, by the way, Eli Ricks, on and on and on. So you're taking away reps from there. Yeah, this is one where Howie and I take divergent paths. I often talk about Howie's decision making, and it typically makes sense to me. I think pushing this down the, I like to call it the Sam Hinkie route. Mike Gill will get that reference, where you have to win every single trade at all cost. I don't think that's necessarily the case here, or should be the case. I don't see a lot of good from this. Now, Nick Sirianni did his duty, and he's bringing up Charles Woodson, who's a Hall of Fame player, moving from cornerback to slot and then safety as an example of what could happen. It happened here with Malcolm Jenkins. People that don't know, Malcolm Jenkins was drafted as a cornerback in New Orleans, won a Super Bowl as a cornerback as a rookie in New Orleans, ultimately became a great safety here. Ronnie Lott started at cornerback. People don't remember that. And ultimately, you know, that's one of the greatest safeties of all time. So it's not like it hasn't happened. Rod Woodson as well. It happens all the time. To me, though, it's not gonna happen here. He's not gonna be a backup. He's not gonna learn the position. Either he's a starter or he's not here. Is he gonna start at safety? You're not going to start at cornerback. He's not going to start at safety. And then moving him to safety, and people say, well, they need some depth. They need the four safety. You've got to play special teams if you're a four safety. You have to.
Yeah, John, this is a load of – this is a crock of baloney.
It is.
Yeah. I like the expression you've been using on the show the last couple of days, or the last couple of weeks of – the juice isn't worth the squeeze. Like, if Bradbury's not going to be here, just move him, cut him, let him go. It doesn't make sense to try and do all this for a conditional seventh or conditional sixth. But maybe that's what they're going to do. So we'll get more into that. I'm going to welcome everybody in this morning. I appreciate all of you guys in the chat. BMO, Twiz, Andrew Jackson says, good morning, guys. Let's go. Avid listener every day, usually not live due to work, but we still get it in. Andrew, welcome here. Welcome into the live, man. It's always fun to be on the live stream and chatting with us. So we appreciate all you guys, SMD Eagles, Prince. We appreciate everybody for being here. Johnny Mack, let's stay on cornerback. I guess we were on safety there for a hot second with Bradbury. But Kelee Ringo, another great practice by all means, how did he look out there? A lot of talk about Kelee coming out of yesterday's practice.
And it's rare that you see, you know, such conformity in it, because it was so obvious that he was the best player on the field. And he was just locking people down, not only the John Rosses of the world and the Paris Campbells of the world, but the AJ Browns of the world. Now, AJ got him on a comeback route at one point, but he's all over him.
Look, you can be the best cornerback in the league. AJ Brown's going to get you sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the point. That's one of the best five receivers in pro football. So, he had a really strong practice, you know, and I'm
which is good to hear, John, because you've kind of been on. Well, you've always, to your credit, you've been very high on the player for a long time, but you have said he's not a great.
Well, and I say no, and he typically hasn't been, and that to me is a big part of it with Vic Fangio, especially. So that's a positive for him to be really show up in practice, because he didn't do that last summer as a rookie, and in fact fell behind Eli Ricks at one point, and the Eagles played Eli Ricks before they played Kelee Ringo. Ultimately, when he got in there, because he was forced in there due to some injuries, he played really well late last season. Then you start to think, well, maybe this is a game day player, so to speak. He's not going to be the best practice player. But I didn't think that would work with Vic Fangio. Never going to get an opportunity unless you you're prove yourself to them in practice. So from that standpoint, it was a very positive step. Also indicates what I was talking about through voluntary OTAs. You got to pay attention to who's there and who's not.
Right.
So day one, Ringo wasn't there. Slay was. Slay was the left corner. Isaiah Rogers was the right corner. And I mentioned on the show, you know, you got to wait and see what happens when Kaylee's here. I think he's going to be the starter, at least, you know,
to start
until right. they get Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper or and or Cooper DeJean up to where they need to be. And then in the second OTAs, open to reporters, Slay wasn't there. Ringo was back, and it was Ringo and Rogers as the starter. Now mandatory minicamp, everybody's there, with the exception of Landon Dickerson, but he was excused, by the way, so no issues there. And it was Slay and Ringo, where I thought it would be. And he really, really showed up. Now, I've taken hat tip to Bobby King, the Eagles' new linebackers coach, because he's the one who called it, you know, they're out there in his pajamas, so it is pajama day. All the time, no pads, nothing of that, no press coverage. But these are things, and Kaylee proved last season, at the end of last season, he's physical. He's willing. Those are more concerns about Isaiah Rogers, who wasn't the greatest in run support in Indianapolis. When the pads come on, let's see how he looks. With Ringo, he was pretty physical. And he's bigger and he's long. So yeah, and it all comes down to, you said I've been high on the player. I'm very above board. I'm high on the player because AJ Brown told me he's going to be really good.
Yeah,
and that's good enough for me.
It would be good enough for me too. If you're one of the best three, I think best top three receiver in the NFL, that's where I have AJ Brown. And you're telling me Kelee Ringo, by the way, who was 20, he's a 21 year old guy. That's young for the NFL. This is his second year in the NFL. Now his birthday's coming up, I think, in a couple of weeks. He's the end of June, so he'll be 22. But drafted at 20 years old, I mean, all through that rookie year, 21, and AJ Brown's like, this guy's going to be a stud. That says a lot. So pretty exciting times, honestly, at cornerback, John. If Quinyon Mitchell can be what we're expecting him to be, if Kelee Ringo could you know, can turn into a good cornerback, you almost wonder, like, what are they going to do with Slay? But I guess they'll keep Slay. They'll let Kelee continue to develop and Quinyon, and we'll be in a good position.
Yeah, you know, Slay's going to, let's make that very clear. Slay's going to be there now, 2025. That's when,
right.
You start asking the questions. But yeah, he's the number one corner, and he will be on this team. And the question is, where are they going to start? And I do think, you know, people are saying, well, maybe Rogers can push Quinyon Mitchell if Quinyon Mitchell's not ready or Cooper's not ready. But I think Ringo's the bigger threat to be, and he might not give it up. And long term, if you're talking about 2025, I think the Eagles' goal, if you gave him the truth serum, would be Mitchell on one side, Ringo on the other, and Cooper in the slot would be, I think, the way they're projecting it.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BADLANDS ranch.com/save50 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Yeah, so pretty good stuff from the defense yesterday. We'll get a little bit more into that later in the show. We have Mike Gill coming up in about 8 minutes, and then we'll have Brandon Lee Gowton, who was also down there with Johnny Mack yesterday. So he'll be on later in hour number two. John, let's talk offense, though, for a little bit in this brief recap.
What offense?
Yeah, was it not good? Because remember, when we ended the show yesterday, I said, John, what's the one thing you're looking when we go down there, when you go down there today? And it's you were offense. You were offense-based yesterday and Bradbury, but we talked about that. How did the offense look? How did Jalen Hurts look? How did you learn anything from Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni's offense? What can you tell us about the offense?
Yeah, a big it's been...
That's not good, Johnny Mac.
It's been... it wasn't bad. It was just boring. Everything, it's clear they're working on getting the football out of the quarterback's hands quickly. Not just Jalen, but everybody. Kenny Pickett, Tanner McKee, and I don't like it. I don't like it. Now, hopefully, it's just a part of the process. You know, I bring up the spring training in baseball pitcher comparison where, you know, sometimes it practices, you're not trying to beat the defense. You're not trying to score points. You're not trying to make plays. You're trying to work on things that you think you need to work on. And obviously that was an issue. And people complained all the time that, oh, the stupid high school offense doesn't have hot routes and they don't have answers for the quarterback and all that nonsense. And they seem to be overcorrecting in my thought process to the start of camp. There's no big plays. You know, you sit there after practice and they're only practicing for an hour, a little bit over an hour yesterday. And typically because it's practice, you have all kinds of plays, splash plays, you know, and they tried a couple deep shots, but Ringo was all over both, one to Ross and one to Paris Campbell, as I mentioned. Tanner McKee had a couple decent throws. There's no splash plays. There's no, you look at the offense and you think, now the defense made one. Reed Blankenship jumped a slant route to DeMonte Smith again, quick throw, jumped it all over it.
Is that Jalen Hurts throwing that?
Yeah, Jalen threw it, deflected into the air. Devin White got the interception. Now, also from the defense's perspective, which has been a lot better, and they have been the ones making the splash plays, four interceptions in the last OTA practice. You know, it's a passing drill. They know the pass is coming. They know they're not going to run it. So it's a little bit easier.
Yeah, it's a jump route.
Yeah. So all this context should be added in, but all I can tell you is there's not much to talk about from the offense's perspective. There's no plays being made. And when it is, when the rare play is, you know, Kenny Pickett had a couple nice throws to he had a nice throw to John Ross, but I think on a corner route, but I think Ross didn't get his second foot in. But that was tough. It was sort of bang, bang. He made a nice throw to Grant Calcaterra at 1 point. Was interesting because Calcaterra, Nick Sirianni brought him up, by himself. So maybe Grant's showing more things behind the scenes than we've seen when we're at practice. So there was a nice throw. And Tanner probably made the nicest throw because it was sort of throwing open CJ Uzama, the backup tight end, maybe 15, 20 yards down the field. And that's what we're talking about. That's, to me, that was the best throw of the practice. And that's not going to excite too many people.
No, that Tanner McKee had the play.
Jalen was okay. There were a couple. There was an out. Probably the biggest play was Hurts to AJ, which maybe 20 yards, 25 yards. But nothing spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, are the turnovers becoming a concern for you? I know we're in June, but we got to talk about it. I mean, Jalen seems to continue to turn the ball over, even in passing drill practices. Kellen Moore did have a little bit of a problem with Dak Prescott having turnovers like crazy in Dallas. Is that something you're worried about at all, or is it too early to even go there?
It's too early, and my assumption is they're trying to work on that.
Which I don't have a problem with if that's the case. I mean, obviously that's what you want them to be doing, is working on stuff during this time of the year. But I will say, you know, coming off last year, you do want to hear at least that the quarterback, that the coach.
I will say from a negative standpoint, I've covered a lot of OTAs and mini camps over the years. Back in the current era, the prior era, there's usually more to talk about offensively. I mean, it's 7-on-7s.
I even remember a couple years ago, like Jalen Reagor's making a one-handed catch, you know, on a 40-yard deep ball. Like, we're not getting anything like that. Now, that's just one example, but still, I mean, is it just consistent underneath stuff, short routes?
It's been pretty consistent underneath stuff. I'd say 80% underneath. And that's two things. It's boring, but maybe it's needed. Maybe it's needed.
Yeah. Might also be an overcorrection. I mean, part of this offense works because you have explosive plays that put the defense, you know, on their heels. Chunk plays. The Eagles talk about it all the time. They want to prevent chunk plays on defense, and they want to get chunk plays on offense.
It's a fine line because they fell in love with it a little bit too much last year, and we're trying to push it and not take what the defense was giving them. So it seems, and Doug Nussmeier talked about the 2.3-second rule. You know, we talked about that a little bit yesterday.
Yeah,
and they haven't gotten to the post 2.3 of sort of, and it's always difficult to practice chaos, so to speak, when the play breaks down and you're just trying to extend it, which is one of Jalen Hurts' strengths. And I've been talking about that for years. He doesn't show up as much in practice as games, not because of he's not a good practice player, as he's talking about. It's because they're blowing plays dead. They're protecting the quarterback, and you don't get to see him extend his
plus one ability in practice.
Yeah,
right.
And all of a sudden, it shows up on game day. So it's something really difficult. But I don't think that's going anywhere. His ability to do that. My only concern is they're going to try to beat it out of him, and I hope that's not the case. I don't think it's going to be the case, but
yeah, maybe it's an overcorrect. I mean, because remember, we just talked about how there's 80% underneath stuff. We talked about how they're trying to make Jalen be something he's not. Maybe it's major overcorrections in June so that it balances the scale during the season. I don't know, but we'll see how it all plays out. John, before we get to a break, we have Mike Gill coming up. Anything that, just in this quick recap, we'll obviously get into more stuff throughout the show. We still have an hour and 40 minutes left to go in the show today. But anything that you feel the need to address at the open here that we might have missed?
Mekhi Becton playing left guard.
Yeah, I forgot about it. That's a big one.
Yeah, and literally and figuratively.
Yeah, right.
Talked about, you know, all right, do you really want somebody that big inside? Well, they've answered that. And that, to me, has far greater implications, because Landon Dickerson's a Pro Bowl player. Means nothing at left guard. Right.
He's Landon just in there. Me to left guard. Yeah. But for Steen, you're talking.
Exactly. So, that, don't get me wrong, they want Tyler Steen to win the job, but now they have a bunch of, you know, they bring in Max Sharping, for instance, you know, 38 NFL starts, whatever it is. They have a veteran presence. They have Matt Hennessy as well still. And now you have Mekhi Becton in the mix, who looks like he's going to be the sixth offensive lineman, so to speak. So, you know, from the early thought, if the left tackle, right tackle, left guard, right guard went down, it'd be Mekhi Becton coming in, no matter what.
Right.
That's what they seem to be working toward. But, you know, if Tyler Steen doesn't seize the job, you got a guy who was whatever, the 11th overall pick in the draft. Obviously the talent's there. And obviously Jeff Stoutland seems to like him a lot. Jeff said he was a very fun player to coach. He's got a lot of gifts, a lot of physical gifts.
Yeah, we had a couple guys on that I mentioned earlier on a couple weeks ago. We had Phil Sims on the afternoon show with Dan Cilio, who, I mean, he knows Mekhi personally. He praised him. He's like, this guy, with Jeff Stoutland, the Eagles got a guy here. You might not think it yet, but they got a guy. And then we had Brian Baldinger, who said the same thing about Mekhi Becton, that he's just an absolute beast. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, maybe it's possible he could supplant Tyler Steen, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, Tyler's got to win the job. And it seems they want him to win the job, but he's got one NFL start. He didn't perform that well in it. And all of a sudden, here's a big 6'8" monster coming in.
Nobody's getting by him.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll get to our first commercial break. Mike Gill is in the green room. We see Mike Gill in the waiting room. So we're going to get to our first timeout. We'll talk about all this and more from mini camp and the upcoming training camp and everything going on in the Eagles offseason next with Mike Gill.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy. But being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care. And BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.